It is so good to serve him. Let's turn over to Ephesians 3, verse 14. Ephesians 3, 14. Ephesians 3, 14, we all there? It says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." So this has been our text as we've been talking about, we titled the series, Rooted and Grounded in Love. Rooted and grounded in love. This is how we want to be established, is in love and in the love of the Lord. People are selling all kinds and promoting all kinds of methods, programs, so forth, to quote unquote success. And to be established in something. You know, they're promoting, the world promotes all kinds of ways to achieve happiness, quote-unquote peace. But there is only one true way. And that is to be established in the Lord and in His love. That's the only thing that's going to make us truly secure. Because He's the only person, being, that is established, completely unchangeable. And the more we're established and secure in Him, the more we'll be like Him. But the world, they can be real confident. I'm not saying people don't achieve things on the earth through different methods. They do. But if their foundation is not on the Lord Jesus Christ and they don't know the living God, it's temporal, no matter what it is. Because it's not a solid foundation. It can move. People may get a degree of success, what I guess you would call, the world call it term success, but they accomplish certain things, but everything is subject to change. There's a hole, I put it like this, there's a hole in every one, or multiple holes in every one of these theories on how to achieve happiness and success. If it's not based on the Lord, it has a gotcha. And it may not show up tomorrow. It may not show up 2 years from now, but it will show up. There is nothing that we can base our life on that is going to truly be secure and stable over the long run rather than the Lord. We need to be established in Him and established in His love. You can't be established in what somebody else thinks of you. You can't be established in who your friends are. You can't be established in what job you have or job you don't have. You can't be established in how much money you have. You can't be established in your family heritage, natural family heritage. You can't be established on what part of the country you came from or what country you come from. None of those things are something. I mean, you may esteem it. You may find out about it, like your heritage. You can't base your self-worth and be established on that, though. You can't. It's shaky. Plus, it can get into pride real easy. I'm so-and-so. I'm from this state. I'm from this country. My family is such-and-such. I work for this company. Whatever. And if it's not based on the Lord, it's not secure and strong and stable over the long haul. But if we'll get established and secure in Him and in His love, there is nothing that can move us. Because we're established in Him. Is there anything that can move the Lord? Any force that's ever come up against Him and He moved even a millimeter? He said, oh, that took me off guard. Now I'm over here. Nothing. Nothing. He is the same yesterday, today, and a million years from now, He'll still be the same. And a million years ago, He was the same. Now, we can't understand that. Our minds, when you say He is, He has always been, your mind goes, it just can't handle it. It can't handle that concept. We can make models, we can make theories, but your mind and my mind cannot wrap around the fact that a being has always been. In fact, we'll say, what, it has to have a start. No, it doesn't. That's the wrong question. That's the wrong premise. It doesn't have to have. In our understanding, something has to start. But God never started, and nobody ever created Him. He is. And nobody ever pushed Him around or moved Him either. So He is yesterday, and just like He was, He is today. And just the same way He's going to be, that same way tomorrow. And so nobody can move Him. Nobody can shake Him. And so if I'm in Him, and if I'm established and rooted and grounded in Him, what am I going to be more and more like? I'm going to be stable, secure. You're going to see me today, and I'm going to be here. You're going to see me tomorrow, I'm going to be centered. Does that mean I'm not going to grow and change? No, that just means I'm not going to jet over here and, oh, this is great, and then go over here, and, oh, look at this, and do this. Tossed about with every wind of doctrine or every newfangled thing. Ooh, this is the truth. Do you realize that's the way the world is? The world is so backwards, they think they're coming up with new stuff all the time. I mean, new technology changes. But the fundamental worldview is wrong because they think we're going up. We were back down here, and we're the best we've ever been. We're a far cry as a human race from where we were. Anybody heard about anybody living 900 years recently? The first humans did. See, when you think we're going up, you're always looking for the new best thing and something else. This is the way to do it now. And how many of you know these things flip-flop about every 10 years? This is bad for you. No, now it's good for you. No, it's bad for you. Now it's good for you. Right? If you live long enough, you see the cycle and you're, oh, yeah, that, okay, we'll just wait to see. That, yeah, I can't eat that. Oh, no, I can't. Now it's, no, I can't. I remember Pastor Gill saying that. He's like, yeah, you've been around long enough. Salt's been good, bad, good, but, you know, it just keeps going. Just waiting to see what they say next. Now, I'm not trying to make fun of that. I'm saying if your mind is not established in the Lord, you're going to go for things. Ooh, this is the best thing. There's never been anything like this. What does Ecclesiastes say? There is nothing new under the sun. Is that true or not? Well, we got the new way to do it. If it differs with this, it's wrong. I don't care who said it. I don't care what kind of so-called results they got, because they haven't lived the whole life yet. And they haven't seen it in all the cases. And it probably doesn't scale. Well, it absolutely doesn't scale to every case. This does. The Word does. And so if we're looking for something else new all the time, we'll be going, well, it's never been done like this before, but this is what such and such says, so we're going to go for it. If you don't realize that this is truth, then we can move off easy. But if we realize this is truth, then we can be anchored in it. We can be stable in it. We can be strong and secure, and something comes up in our life, we can look and say, well, God's still God. Jesus is still Lord. It's all going to be all right. It's going to be fine. And when somebody comes to us, whoa, why don't you go over here and do this? And ooh, and we say, well, if it doesn't line up with what God says, then it's wrong. I don't care. You'll find out it's wrong sooner or later. Just watch. It might take 15 years, but you're going to find out some things you did not know. You thought it was the way to go, but you're going to realize you missed something. Because if it disagrees with the Word of God, He's thought of everything. How many of you know that? There is no loophole to this. There is no part He forgot. If we'll do what the Word says, it's solid. It's secure. And so that's where we want to be rooted and grounded. It says in verse 17, see, he's praying. Notice verse 14, it says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love." Now we read before, God is love. We're not just talking about love, just the abstract concept of love. No, we're talking about the being, love, God, love, Him. He is true love. There's a lot of things masquerading as love, but it's not God. So then it's not real love, because He's love. And that's where we're supposed to be rooted and grounded, in His love, and in everything He is. That's a solid foundation. He said that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That we see, the more we're established in this, anchored in this, the more then we are going to be filled with God. And it's true. The more we're just established in His love, the more we can be a vessel for His love to flow through us. Why? Because we're secure. Because we're at peace. Because we're calm. Why? Because of us? No. Because we believe and are anchored in Him. And that's the way to live. That's the true security. Let's look at your sheet. For the sake of time, we went over some of these scriptures last week. I just wanted to run over a couple of them quick. I encourage you, if you didn't hear last week's message, to go on the web and listen to it. It was powerful. We're going to build on some things there. We can't repeat it all. Romans 8:35, it says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?" And then verse 37 there, it says, "Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through" what? "Through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor..." Does this sound like what we were just saying? It doesn't matter what it is. It comes and meets God. It has to bow. There is nothing. "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life..." How many people are afraid of death? They are. People are afraid to die. You know, as Christians, we ought not be afraid to die. If we're afraid to die, then we will be afraid to do certain things. In life, I'm not talking about, you know, jumping off a cliff without a parachute or something like that. I'm just saying there'll be certain things that you're afraid because, well, what if, you know, I don't know. What about my life? What about my kids? We're afraid. We ought not be afraid. Because what happens as a Christian if we die? We're with the Lord. Okay. Well, you said, what about my family? Well, God can take care of them just like he took care of us, right? He can do it. No, we don't have to be afraid to die. That's a good place to be. Because if you're afraid to die, well, everybody's afraid to die. No, what do we read? Getting ahead of myself, but just look at that next scripture, 1 John 4:17. We finished up here last week as well. I wanted to recap. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. So how much fear is there in love? Zero. So what about the fear of death? Should we be afraid to die? No. We shouldn't be afraid to die. Now, I'm not saying we want to go home early. No, we don't. We want to live out our time here. We want to run our race. You may say, sometimes I feel like a brother. I hear you. That comes to all of us. I'm not saying you have suicidal thoughts. I'm just saying, you know, sometimes you're like, I wish I was in heaven. Man, I don't want to deal with this stuff. Well, yeah, I mean, some of us do. You wish we didn't have to deal with some of this stuff, but we live in a fallen world, right? Okay. Well, like Paul said, you know, I'm kind of torn. I want to go to be with Jesus, but it's better for me to stay with you. And he was getting to the end of his life there. Well, we ought not be afraid to go there, but we want to go at the right time. We want to run our race, finish our course, cross the finish line, and say, I'm done. I ran the race. I did everything I'm supposed to do. Now I'm going to home to party. I'll see you people in a little bit. Love you, but I'm going. Right? So go back to Romans 8:37. It says, or 8. It says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, this would be demons, like we were talking about in the announcements, you know, dealing with demons. We don't have to be afraid of them. They don't have anything on us. Nor things present, nor things to come, future. Right there. How many people are just, they're frozen, scared stiff. But what's going to happen? Right? Oh, it's getting bad. This is getting bad. It's getting worse, yeah. Bible said it would happen. It's getting bad, okay. But that doesn't mean we have to be afraid. The light's also getting greater. More people being saved. More people coming in. You ain't going to see that on the news, but it's true. People coming to Jesus. So we don't have to be afraid of what's to come. Not going to dig ourselves a hole and crawl under a rock and wait for everything to pass. No, we're going to run our race and do what God told us to do. Verse 39, it says, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from him. And he loves us. And he gave himself for us. Let's look again at 1 John 4:17. Read the rest of that. It says, for love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. He gave himself for us. He came and sacrificed himself so that we could be with him. It says, fear involves torment. Why would you be insecure and not established? First of all, what does insecure mean? You're not sure. Why are you not sure? It involves fear. We're afraid of something. We're afraid of what somebody will think. We're afraid of what somebody's going to say. You know? You know, you young people, you guys can, and this goes for all of us, but most people don't really want to go back to middle school and high school. Some people do. I mean, you know, granted, if you knew what you knew now, I'd go back. If I knew what I knew now, and I could live with this consciousness and know what's going on and hit everything, that'd be a different thing. But just going back the way I grew up, I don't want, no thank you. Most people don't. Now, we don't have to be like that. Our kids can go through strong and secure and enjoy it and not worry about what people are going to say about them. Isn't that, you guys, I mean, isn't that a lot? People are so caught up, you young people, in what other people think. Who's going to say what about me? And when we're, you know, on this side of the fence, you're like, it doesn't matter. But at that age, it's different. But we don't have to worry and we don't have to be insecure in what people say about us. If we know, and you guys know, ladies, guys, if you know what Jesus has done and be secure in that and be strong and secure in what the Lord has done for you, you can be around anybody and not care what they say about you because you're like, you know, the creator of the universe loves me and he's my father and he's going to take care of me. So who are you? Not arrogantly, but I'm sorry, I just don't really care what you think. I want to be nice to you. You know, I'll be kind to you. But if you're going to call me names, you're going to talk behind my back, I'm sorry. I know somebody greater and I'm secure in him. And that'll carry you through right into the workplace, you know, college. Because how many of you know it doesn't end necessarily at high school because there's stuff in the workplace? Right? But we can know that the Lord is our security. I know him. He loves me. So, you know, I want to get along with you, but if you don't think I'm all that, well, okay. How many of you, I mean, everybody. Everybody has people that don't think that all that hot of them. Doesn't matter who you are. They just aren't impressed with you. It doesn't matter how much you try, how hard you try to do everything right. They may just not like you because you try to do that. You know, Daniel, they didn't like him. What did he do wrong? Well, he was just too good of a guy. You know, he just showed everybody else up, so we don't like you. You can't win. Somebody is going to think you're not all that. So what do you do when somebody else just doesn't, they're not impressed with you. They think, you're whatever. They don't think much. Are we going to be defined by that? Or define that God, who doesn't change, he loves me, he gave himself for me, and I get so secure and established in that, that I can be around anybody. I'm not intimidated by people. That we're secure because, after all, I'm established in him. He loves me. So if some human that's going to die, probably for sure within 100 years, yeah, is not going to be on this earth, why am I letting them affect the way I act or affect my esteem of myself, my self-esteem because of something they said or something they think or something I thought they think when I don't even know? See, so much of this is fear. Why would you care about what somebody else thinks unless you think it's somehow going to hurt you? Right? Somehow they're going to say something. They're going to tell somebody else something about you. If they don't like you, then they're going to say something to somebody else. And then, I don't know, I might be hurt because of that. Or somebody else might not like me. Or, you know, then I might lose my job. Or I might not get a promotion. It all involves fear. Right? What's the antidote for this? It's to get secure in love. And that's what we really emphasized last week. We're hitting it a little bit this week. But go back and listen to last week's message. We hit that hard. If we'll be secure in him and secure in his love, what did the scripture say? It says, perfect love casts out fear. It says there is no fear in love. So that means if I'm completely settled in love, I'm not going to fear. I'm not going to be scared. I'm not going to be uptight. I'm not going to be insecure. And so that's where we've been talking about. We want to be rooted and grounded there. Now let's turn over to 2 Thessalonians 2. This is really where I wanted to get to today. 2 Thessalonians 2. Second Thessalonians 2, verse 16. It says, "Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish or strengthen you in every good word and work." I'll read that again. "Now may the Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us." See, he loves us. He loves us. See, that has become so, like we talked, we've referred to it, we've heard that, some of us have heard that it's lost its punch when we say, "Oh yeah, yeah," because we somehow love became something less than what it really is in this context, because we've seen it tossed around maybe in family situations or in other situations where people have said they loved us, or we've heard, "Yeah, I love you," or "Jesus loves you," but we haven't seen the reality of it. And so it's been watered down to where when we see, "Oh, Jesus loves you, yeah, 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 let me tell you what my problem is." No, we just blew by the answer to our problem. You realize, I mean, this has been mocked even. "Oh, Jesus loves you." I mean, people will mock that. You don't understand what they're saying. No, if the creator of the universe loves me, and by love, you know, we've read in other scriptures, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. I mean, he sacrificed himself for us. If we understand the depth, but this is in our text, right? If we understand the expansiveness, all the dimensions of that love, and are rooted and grounded in that, there isn't any problem that could stand in our way. Did we just read in Romans that in all these things we're more than conquerors through him who loved us? What problem could come when you are so established, so rooted, grounded, that when somebody says, "Jesus loves," you read that, "Jesus loves me," you're like, "Yes, he does." And it just brings up this picture of, man, he's with me. He's for me. He's going, attaboy, you, attagirl, you keep going. You're doing, you show him, you go. Go ahead. I'm with you. I'm for you. And if you fall down, I'll pick you right back up. Just look to me, and you're going to be just fine. You just keep going. God loves us that way. Amen. And we just see a measure of this when we've seen a parent or a mentor or a teacher come behind us and come alongside us. Has anybody ever experienced that in your life? Where somebody came along and you felt that lift with them believing in you. You felt like, well, if they think I can do it, here we go. I can do it, right? How much more, see, that's just a little bit, that's a glimpse. That's a glimpse of what God has done and will do. And so if we realize, whether we have anybody else or not, humans may have failed us, parents may have failed us, family may have failed us, spouses may have failed us, children may have failed us, but if we say, God is here and He's not going to fail and He loves me regardless of who else has rejected me, regardless of who else doesn't believe in me, right now He's right by my side saying, you can do this. You can do anything I give you to do. Now let's go. And that goes past just Christianese. That's right. Jesus loves you. No real meaning toward it. It's just kind of we throw this stuff around like we do so many things. We can water things down to where it's like, no, Jesus loves me. And when we say that, we see what He did on the cross for us. He bled. He shed His blood. And there's nothing. He's not going to ever take a step back from us. He's not going to say, oh, you went too far. I'm distancing myself from you. You're on your own. Like men will. Throw you under the bus. God won't do that. You face a tough situation in life, instead of saying God's the problem, you'll realize, no, He's with me in the midst of trouble. As the psalmist said, He's with me here. He'll deliver me and honor me. Hallelujah. You want to just turn over there real quick? Psalm 91. Praise you, Lord. Verse 14. Psalm 91. Verse 14. You could read the whole thing. I mean, this is so rich, but Psalm 91, verse 14, it says, because He has said it, now this is the Lord saying this about the person that trusts in Him, because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. In the midst of it, I'll be with him. In the midst of whatever's going on, I'm with him. I'm with her. I'll be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen. That's the God that goes by and says, we're in this together. I'm with you. When you hit a tough place, that the more we become established in this, we don't look and say, where's God? We say, God, you're here. You're with me. You haven't gone anywhere. You said you're with me. And God says, we got this. You hold my hand. We're going through. And I will honor you. I will deliver you. I will satisfy you with long life. And we're just established in Him. We're saying, He's here. I believe Him. He hasn't gone anywhere. He's right here. He's for me. How does that come? The more we're established in the fact that He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. That means He gave Himself for me. He already gave His life for me. You say, well, I wish Jesus would just, give me a sign. Show me that He loves me. He already has. He already sacrificed Himself. Wish Jesus would just do something in my situation. He already has. He already did in Jesus everything that He needed to do for us. And it's just up to us to call out to Him and take it. And say, Lord, I believe what You have done. He has done something. God is not sitting up there going, you're on your own, buddy. No, He said, I gave my Son for you. I gave my Son for you. And what do? We believe that. And like we were saying previously. It's a trust. That's all faith is. How do you access it? You believe him. You take it, take him at his word and say, okay, you said that's the way it is. All right, Lord, you're with me here in the middle of trouble. I believe you. That's how you access it right there. That's trust. So how are you going to access it? You're going to believe. You're going to be established. The more you're established, the more you easily will reach out. You'll reach out and say, God, you're here. I know you're here. Because why? You trust him. That's faith. That's faith. That's it. Trust. Believe in him. Look at this scripture and a couple other translations on your sheet. Second Thessalonians 2:16 and the Wycliffe. It says, and our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, which loved us and gave everlasting comfort and good hope in grace, may he stir or admonish your hearts and confirm you in good work and word. Confirm. Can you just see somebody? Imagine somebody even on, you know, like a father figure putting his hand on your shoulder and saying, you're all right. You're all right. You're going to be all right. You're doing a good job. Just confirming you, just affirming you. Look at it in the Amplified. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us everlasting consolation and encouragement and well-founded hope through his grace or unmerited favor, may he comfort and encourage your hearts and strengthen them, make them steadfast, and keep them unswerving in every good work, good word and work, work and word. Do you get a picture there in verse 17? May he encourage your hearts and strengthen them and make them steadfast and keep them unswerving. Look back up at Ephesians 3:14 there at the top of your sheet. Does that sound like this? Look at verse 15. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. Is that your heart? You can be strengthened in your heart, in your inside. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Does that sound like encourage, like back down in 2 Thessalonians 17, there in Amplified, does that sound like encourage your hearts and strengthen them and make them steadfast and keep them unswerving? Yes. You get a picture? Does that sound like God? Yes. Does that sound like stable, unmoving? Can you see yourself with a heart that's so strong and established that in everything you do, he said in every work and word, you're unswerving? You are just getting synced up with God to where you go in this situation, you don't bat an eyelash. You're unswerving. Because what? Why? Why? Because you're so great? No, because you know right behind you, and in fact in you, is God going into this thing right with you. And you know what he's done for you, and you know how he's loved you. And so you go in, and your first thought, instead of thinking, oh no, we're doomed, you're thinking, God's in me. God's with me. He's not taken off guard. He's not surprised. He's with me right now in the middle of this trouble, and he'll take me through. Just unswerving, steadfast. You think God wants us to be steadfast? Yes. Hallelujah. Be established. Steadfast. Let's look at a couple more scriptures on your sheet there. Romans 16:25 says, now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. Who is able to establish us? Is he able? Yes. Yeah, he's doing it right now. Through his word. Like what did it say? According to my gospel and preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, he's able to establish us through His Word, through His Spirit confirming His Word. That's what He's doing with us. He's bringing us up. He's establishing us through what He has done and through us taking a hold of that Word. We're being established, being brought up to a higher level. Colossians 2:6 says, "As you therefore have received Jesus, or Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." Rooted and built up in Him and established. Does that sound like the same thing? Rooted and built up. Does that sound like rooted and grounded? What are you going to be rooted and grounded in? In Him, He is love. In the fact that He is always present. He is always with me. He's on my side. He's for me. He wants my best in every situation. That we get grounded in that. In 2 Thessalonians 3:3, it says, "But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one." Who will establish us and guard us? Is He able to do it? Can we be established, so established in Him, that in life we hit everything just with that knowledge and that strength and that peace and that security? Is it possible? Yeah, He just said it was. He said He could and He will establish us. He's bringing us up right now. Hallelujah. You sense that? You see His Word? His Word's what's doing it. His Word, you look at His Word, faith is there. And as we believe it, as we take a hold of it, it's strengthening our inner man. It's rooting us and grounding us just in that love. We get strong, get established. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.